Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable. It's Jim Storer with the Community Roundtable.
And Doug Haslam with Voce Communications. And with us is Jeff Esposito, the PR manager for Vistaprint.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. First off, I guess, first of all, a description of Vistaprint. We know you traditionally as the company where we might go to get business cards, and paper business cards in particular, that sounds traditional. I'm sure there's more to your product than that, but also more that links you to online social networking and online community than that. Perhaps you could explain to us how community ties into what you do.
Okay, so one of the things is that we have over 9 million customers per year that come to us that range from the micro businesses, which are the 1 to 10 businesses, to the home and consumers that buy any of our marketing solutions or services, things like the business cards, as you mentioned, the holiday cards, to websites and email marketing are things that we do offer for our customers where it's something where it's nice and easy. And those 9,000 customers are active, and we have about 66% of our business come from repeat customers. So these people are really engaged with the company and are passionate about the brand. So it comes to something where they're looking for an outlet, and probably back in 2008, we got put on to, I got a Business Week article thrown at me that was, I forget who wrote it now, I think I want to say it's a Baker wrote the article to where it said Beyond Blogs, and I got hit with it, and it said, figure out what this Twitter thing is.
So someone literally hit you with it.
Yes, we had a magazine toss it at us in our PR meeting and was told, figure it out, so I looked at the magazine and, you know, figured it out, and then set up a personal account and started playing with it ever since after squatting the company's domain. And then we listened for 6 months. We did something that I don't think many companies will do right now, where they jump in with both feet. We sat there and tried to see what was being said, which ranged from the positive to the negative to the neutral. And, you know, we figured out, let's see what's going on with there. And I'd love to say we were perfect, but we made as many mistakes as anybody did starting out. We tried doing press releases. People told us that was wrong, and we said, well, tell us how you would like us to do it. And the community, ever since that day, in probably January of 2009, has shaped the way that we've run our social media efforts. And the same thing happened when we went to Facebook as well. We took over the Facebook page from our search marketing team, who claimed it as a Web 2.0 property and said this was how we want to run this page and it's going to be great for organic search. As you guys probably know, that doesn't happen right away. So we had a dormant page for the brand for a little bit that our team took over, and since then has cultivated it from about 500 fans to something to where the community now is about 24,000 Facebook fans, with 60% of them per month being active, interacting with us on the wall, giving us product feedback, giving us order feedback, and then just questions about the company, looking for discounts and things of that nature, which is great to see. And it's been something that's grown organic with, you know, just people who are passionate coming to there, not really overtly buying for fans.
Passion doesn't necessarily run on its own fumes. So what do you do to keep that percent of active members going on the Facebook page in particular, or in any of your community channels?
So one of the vision statements that are put, the main driving factor and vision statement for the Vistaprint social media efforts is no customer left behind. And while it does kind of sound like one of the government's programs, it's actually something that we believe in. And if you mention us, whether you're telling us how much you love us, how great an order was, or you're telling us, hey guys, the U.S. Postal Service lost my order that was shipped to me, or, hey, my cards didn't come out right, or I got the wrong number sent to me, or even people that say, I hate you, you email me too much, what are you going to do about that? We sit there and we talk to every single person as a human, not as the traditional PR speak that you would think. So we've really gotten away from the stuff that we'd write for PR collateral just to being something where we're being a human, talking on a one-on-one level. And if we can't answer a question, we'll divert you to our customer service team. On Twitter, they respond directly, but on Facebook, we still have to go to the telephone number, and they get somebody directly that's going to help them with their issue. And a lot of those people come back because it gives you that humanization factor to where if you've talked to somebody, they really do like you more. And it does sound cliche, but the more that we've actually talked to people and acted like a human, we've gotten the benefit of the doubt. Even if there's a problem that might be our fault, people will give us an extra day to get something fixed instead of just going out there and ranting and raving about how awful we are.
Right, right. You know, one of the things we hear from most of the folks we talk to is that whether they're in PR, they're in customer support, they're in marketing, they end up doing a lot of evangelizing inside their company. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you've done in that area and how you've gone from getting hit with a Business Week article to being the face of your company within various social media channels.
So I think that it was just in the beginning. It started out as a project, almost cloak and dagger style, that nobody knew what was going on from the PR team. And then after a while, people started catching on. Our chief marketing officer decided that, you know, this was something that we should try to put under marketing, but keep it in PR at the same time. So I did double duty for a while with a lot of education. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of community managers have the same idea. If you're in an organization that's very metrics-driven like Vistaprint is, it comes down to this isn't really driving the money there. How are you going to make the money that, you know, Dell's article that came out in Ad Age I think it was last year about this time, where it said they made $3 million. That was the first hard number that any company said they made on social media. It probably made a lot of people's days as bad as mine was, because everybody said, how do we make Dell's money right away? How come we're only making this amount of money and not making millions? So it really became an educational process, to where every step of the way, I'm educating people in the company. If you have a question, you know, right now we're going through some education with potentially expanding our efforts into our European markets. So I've been talking to our Barcelona team and saying, here's what social media is, here's what it's not, and here's how we go about building it the right way, and that it's not that silver bullet that can kill the werewolf. It's something that is just going to be a part of traditional communications. And, you know, the one thing that I've stressed over and over again is you have to take off your marketing hat.
Isn't evangelizing a full-time job, though? I mean, in addition to everything else you got to get done?
Yes, it is. It's exhausting at times, but at the same time, it's also rewarding when you see that it starts to click with people and they're realizing that the thing that you've been saying over and over again really starts to hit home and saying this space isn't like anything else, which, you know, I look at it and kind of laugh when you see certain areas that are like, this is how it's going to be. You have to do a baby talk, which I forget where the article that it came out today, but I read it this morning about how talking like a baby is the way that some companies see success, and like talking goofy. But really, I see that as a short-term fix, similar to like any kind of marketing gimmick, that if you're not being a real person and you're not talking to your customers at a human level, sure, the gimmicks might work now, but next week, what are you going to pull out of your bag of tricks? Like, you're just tricking people to build up interaction, whereas if you sit out there and you kind of live and breathe the company's brand and live and breathe the pain points and the successes of the customer, you really get a more beneficial bang for your buck, so to speak. So at the end of the day, you've got that group of people that will go to bat for you. Like, for instance, when we talked about that 60% active group, a few months ago, there was a hurricane that didn't impact North America, so to speak, but it did knock out our call center in Jamaica. And we get thousands of calls a day that are coming in there. And our team just went onto Facebook and onto Twitter and said, hey, guys, the hurricane has knocked out our call center today. Our employees had to go home for safety issues. Please bear with us as we get the call center back up and operational. So immediately, you could have a lot of mad people when their orders don't come in, but since we had that human presence, we had responses like, God bless you, hopefully all of your employees are okay. Hopefully this is there. I can wait for my $50 order today. And if people had complained about the late orders, and the customers, you know, Facebook is probably the best one to see it in, because you can see everybody's responses as opposed to Twitter. People were jumping into the folks that were complaining and saying, look, their call center's down because of a hurricane. Please be a human and respect that if there's potential of life involved. And that was one of the most rewarding days at work, although, you know, it did add extra work of the responses and monitoring and helping fix some customer issues. At the same time, you looked at the way that the folks that were tied into the brand came back and said, hey, look, these guys are doing the best they can. Mother Nature stopped what we're doing, so how do we go around that? And, you know, we can wait as people to get our order, because these folks might not have somewhere to work if this hurricane is that bad.
And just to kind of speak to your presence on the Facebook page and the presence of your customers there, I'm just right now just went live on your page, and the first few posts are from people who are customers, and they either had a complaint or they're just thanking you for an order. And no matter what they're saying, I see very clearly Vistaprint, you know, Facebook page admin thanking you and or saying, you know, we're alerting customer service and all that. That seems to speak to your no customer left behind.
That approach, you know, we really wanted to hit that touch point because we do know that we offer a customized product that has a lot of room for error at times from both, you know, a customer uploading something or confusion with where our text boxes go. And we really want to make sure that something is taken care of because you never want to have that feeling. We like to think about it as how do you like to be treated when you're trying to interact with a company. And I know I've got plenty of horror stories from brands for another day that I've had trouble with, that I've talked to through social media and through customer service. But how do you want it to be taken care of so you don't get the angry situation that you've had yourself?
You mentioned briefly earlier that the example of Dell and getting their $3 million or whatever the amount was off of their Twitter account was thrown around. And that can scare a lot of companies who think that that's their expectation there. That aside, there you obviously can sell, looking at your Facebook page, is obviously a selling element there and leading into commerce. Have you been able to measure the revenue metric out of there? And if so, or even if not, what other metrics are you looking at?
Yes and yes is the answer to that. So we can measure revenue off of the pages. And I think that any company that says you can't is just making excuses as to why you can't. You know, we're a data-driven company, so we go on the URL level that we track to. So we have special offers that are tied to the on Twitter, the vistaprint.com/Twitter, or if you go to the Facebook page, those are all tied to offers. So we can track those. While, you know, it's not going to catch 100% of people that have interacted with us in one way, shape, or form, we track that. But at the same time, the revenue is just a small piece of the puzzle with it. We also look at the conversation share that we share in the social space with a number of our competitors. We look at the SIM score, the Razorfish SIM score. We also look at the Net Promoter Score, which is a little bit different than traditional because it's really just pulling from, we use Scout Labs or Lithium Social Media Monitoring now, that's what their new name is, but we look at the negative and the positive, and we pull together that Net Promoter Score with taking the negative away from the positive and neutral and multiplying that by 1,000 to give us a score, and we look at that next to our competition and see what we do that moves the needle. We also, you know, we'll look at the whole space and see which things tie into each other. So if you've got a bad press thing that comes out in PR and it gives you a lot of negative push, what done in the social space offsets that? And we put it all into a nice package each quarter that goes out to our executive team and shows them what moved the needle, what we're seeing from our customers, and also what company decisions have been changed or real-time quality assurance has been changed because of our interactions in this space. Because a lot of times you're going to get an issue that might not be picked up right away by the folks testing the site, but a customer might be having it on there. And we had that with our website solution at one time with users that were still on a very outdated version of Internet Explorer that we were no longer supporting it. So we had to explain to folks how to update their Internet Explorer, which even though Microsoft had a product named Vista, it's still not part of our company, but we still had to tell them, here's a link to Internet Explorer. Update your browser to the latest version.
Hey, Doug asked you a question about, or maybe he just commented on how, you know, you may be in PR, but you do also work in sales, you know, based on some of the responses I'm seeing on Twitter and on Facebook. And, you know, I'd argue you're also in customer support. What I find really interesting, and I think is different from what I've seen, but I commend you for doing it, is on the Facebook page, on your Twitter account, you guys say this is not an outlet for customer service. This page is manned Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Daylight Time. I love that, even though I think you guys probably work beyond those hours to try and solve customer problems. You're really setting expectations there, and that's, I think, a great lesson that people could take away from this.
And I hope they can. The reason that we have those hours up there, we're dictated by our community as well. Because we're a global company, we've had folks in the UK talking to us that were really annoyed that we weren't answering them in a quick turnaround time. And we're like, all right, we're in Lexington, Massachusetts. We're not working around the clock. It's really, at the time when we did those, it was just me running the pages. And, you know, with other responsibilities, you can't really get to all that and at those times. So we put those on there, and it was actually a funny tidbit that Scott Stratton picked up on for his book on marketing, that we were supposedly one of the only company that he looked at that actually listed the hours of operation on our page. And it makes sense to us. It was almost a no-brainer because we're like, okay, we're getting blasted by our customers in the United Kingdom. How do we prevent that from happening? And then we openly said the numbers, and we also every morning say good morning and at nighttime good night when we're signing off the pages, just so people know that if you're going to a certain time, you're going to be helped by customer service, not the PR team with areas. We also want folks to know the reason on Twitter that we put that it's not an avenue for customer service is that we have a separate channel that's dedicated. We have a VistaPrint Help Twitter account that is dedicated to the customer service issues. And we use CodeSuite to filter those together and say, here's an issue that you guys have to handle, because that's the most efficient way of getting, you know, from both the customer's perspective and also our perspective of getting an issue handled. You know, in the past, it was we would be the intermediary, get all the information from the customer, and then send it down to our customer service team, who'd email us, and we'd be the middleman. So it was really just wasting time. So we trained that team into how to interact with folks in a public setting to fix customer service issues.
This conversation has gone down the road of customer service quite deeply, but I just want to kind of do a check on what do you feel that these are primarily customer service channels, or are you really trying to use them for other things such as the branding, public relations, or even just producing content?
So I'm going to say the customer service is a very minor part of it.
Okay.
And the numbers to back it up are that on our main Twitter account, where we don't deal with any customer issue, we just deal with the brand questions, the thanking of customers to build bigger brand affinity, and then disseminating news and helpful articles that we think might benefit the community at large. On our main Twitter account, we do over 1,000 interactions per month. So 1,000 outbound tweets, whereas the customer service team does about 150 a month. So I think that those numbers right there just show the difference between the brand building and the corporate interactions as compared to the customer service, which is a fraction of the overall number.
Jeff Esposito, PR manager of VistaPrint, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. To comment on what you have heard, email doug@voceconnect.com or jim@community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on either blog.